I don't think size always matters in podcasting. I think that if you have a niche audience and they're super loyal to you, a lot of times those podcasts convert at a much higher rate than some of the biggest podcasts out there that you would ever see.
Mama! Welcome to Mama Has Goals, your weekly reminder that you shouldn't have to sacrifice your dreams to take on the role of mom. I'm Kelsey Smith, mom of two boys, wife, and entrepreneur who's passionate about helping other moms, current and aspiring, to reimagine mom life. I'm bringing you the resources, support, and relatability to debunk that limiting belief that you may have about your ability to achieve your goals while raising a human. We're covering everything from mom guilt, marriage, relationships, careers, finances, mental health, physical health, you name it. Your life doesn't have to fully shift once you become a mom. You can have it all, and we'll show you how. Hey, Mama, thanks for tuning in to the Mama Has Goals podcast. This is your weekly reminder to reimagine mom life and rediscover your multifaceted self. I'm Kelsey Smith, and I want to thank you so much for tuning in each week with me. I have loved reading the reviews that you guys are leaving on Apple Podcasts and then sharing your takeaways on Instagram, whether you're sending me a DM or sharing it to your stories. It lights me up so much. And I actually wanted to share one of the reviews today from the Apple Podcasts with you. And this is from Consciously Glamorous. And she says, if you're a mom with big dreams and you feel you can't achieve them because you have small kids, then this podcast is for you to give you everything you need to get out of your own way and make those dreams happen. And this just lights me up so much because that's truly what we're here for, to give you the support and the resources, the relatability to make sure you have what you need to pursue your own identity and goals alongside motherhood. And our guest today truly lives this by example. I am so excited to share more about her. But before I dive in, I just want to tell you a couple things that we also have coming up in the Mama Has Goals community. As we gear up for the end of 2022 and we truly want to finish strong and then dive into 2023 for our best year yet, I really want to make sure that you're set up with what you need to do that. So I'm curating a really amazing challenge, and all you have to do is text podcast to 707-347-0319. This challenge community is going to be so pivotal in your success for 2023. I cannot wait to bring in people to support you, have you have this community, and truly just knock out 2023. And our guest today truly talks about the importance of having the resources that you need to really live the life and create the goals that you want to. Nikki Butler is a mom of two, a 1 and almost 4-year-old, and she's a business owner of a fairly new PR and podcast production agency called Nikki Butler Media. And after years of experience working at the traditional digital public relation agencies, she's become a powerhouse connector, and she utilizes this in her agency by curating on-point podcast PR strategies and campaigns to drive awareness to her clients and their messages on their podcast. She manages podcasts both big and small with the ultimate goal to grow each show through strategic guest bookings, affiliate partnerships, and a strong concept and consistent, thoughtful content. Her clients include Lori Harder's Earn Your Happy, The Chris Harder Show, The Mayfair Group, hashtag Mayfair World, Girlfriends in Business, Powerhouse Women, The Angie Lee Show, among many others, including Mama Has Goals. She's landed notable guests on her clients' podcasts, such as Rebecca Minkoff, Lauren Bosick, Becca Tilly, Lo Bosworth, Mel Robbins, Molly Sims, Jacqueline Johnson, Amber Venzbox, and more. Nikki also books her clients on podcasts like Gold Digger, Work Party, Work For Us by Rachel Zoe, and The Adam Carroll Show. Follow the agency Nikki Butler Media and Nikki at the Nikki Butler. Talking to Nikki just really showed me how, as successful as we can be in our goals, it is still so important to stay grounded to our past and present life stories. There are so many overarching themes that I took from this episode, but really it comes back to taking small steps, stepping into who you want to be and how you can support others and they can support you while you get there, and just the different ways that we navigate the titles that we have in life, whether it's your career life, motherhood, entrepreneurship, or your backstories. Maybe you are even a child of divorce, like Nikki shares in this episode. You can connect with Nikki on Instagram at TheNikkiButler, and you can also find it in the show notes. But of course, also follow me at Mama Has Goals. Now, let's welcome Nikki to the show. We are diving right in today. Nikki, I know you previously worked 8-to-5 jobs typically, and then when you got pregnant with your first baby, you took a hiatus to figure out motherhood and your next steps in life. What were you feeling during this time, and how did you uncover that entrepreneurship was the right path for you?
So I kind of discovered, and this might be true for a lot of people, but I really felt like while I was working for other companies and other bosses, that the whole 8-to-5 working for other people thing just didn't work for me. I was always like a good employee, always like, you know, got my work done and like over excelled and all of that, over delivered, but I was never, ever happy. Like I always had like a missing piece and I dreaded going to work in the morning. You couldn't really like choose the people that you work with. Whereas like, as you know, being an entrepreneur, you really attract the people that are attracted to the energy that you put out, you know? So it just was definitely a struggle working the 8-to-5 jobs. And I was like, I can't do it. I can't work for other people anymore. So when I got pregnant with my son, I kind of, not gonna lie, was like, I can use this as a little bit of like an excuse to maybe quit the job that I was previously in, which was super high stress. And I traveled a lot and it was a PR job. We had like a ton of clients and then baby and mom space actually. So it was kind of beneficial in a way. But yeah, so I got pregnant, was just stressed out. I was crying like every single day because my boss like breathed down my neck. And my husband was like, all right, you know what? Just quit. We'll figure it out. You can do whatever you want. And I was like, I don't want to go back to another job. Like it just sounded so terrible to me that if I had to go search through LinkedIn or Indeed or Monster or whatever it was. And I was like, I think I have to start my own thing. That's what feels right to me.
I love that so much. I totally resonate with a lot of that. I felt like I was a good employee for most of my career in the traditional workspace. But also, you just kind of know when you're lacking this fulfillment and what's right for you. And bringing little humans into the world definitely gives you a different perspective in how you want to be spending that energy and time that you have left. So once you stepped into entrepreneurship, what has that looked like from that decision up till now? Because I think even when you're called to entrepreneurship, as I know you are, and I feel that way as well, it's still really hard, right? So how has that journey kind of unfolded for you?
Oh, I feel like I'm currently living like the hardness right now, you know, like with scaling. I think scaling is truly the toughest thing, but we can touch on that a little bit later. But I think like my first big struggle in the transition was, what do I want to do? Because I have a lot of passions. I'm multidimensional. If you're into human design, I'm a manifesting generator. So I love all of the things. I just have a hard time like choosing, narrowing it down, and then executing on what I want to do because I just want to do it all. So that was definitely my biggest challenge. So what I did was started doing some freelance PR because that's what the world that I had come from, that's what my background is in. So I did a little bit of that. And then I also started an event planning business, specifically in weddings. And I was like, I'm going to try this because I planned and spearheaded a lot of different events in my PR career. So I was like, they kind of go hand in hand. Let's do this. And it was great for a while. I had also just planned my own wedding. I didn't have a planner myself. So I definitely thrived in that sense and I loved it. But it wasn't like the type of business model that I was comfortable with or happy with because typically people only try to get married once. And so it's not like a recurring type of client and you're constantly having to go out there and really, really build your business to keep the clients coming in. And for me, like I did love the relationship part of it because it's such an intimate part of people's lives and you definitely get to know the couple. But then after that, it sort of felt like it was done. And I'm such a relationship person that I really wanted to establish ongoing relationships with clients and where we could just keep in touch for, you know, the life of our time working together. So after that event planning stint, I still was doing a little bit of the freelance PR. And then the pandemic came. I started my own podcast with my one of my good friends, Becca, and I like literally fell in love with it. But I was managing the whole thing myself. And I was like, holy cow, this is so much work. Like, this is a ton of work. You have to find all the guests. If you're going to have guests on, you have to prep the content, the outlines. You have to edit the show. You have to do the show notes. Just, it was so insane. And then on top of just the logistics of figuring out how to get a podcast out there, I was like, this is so wild and took up a lot of my time. So I was like, how can I marry my newfound passion for podcasting with my expertise in PR? And so I was like, well, I have a lot of background as a broadcast journalism major with production and video editing, audio editing, all of that. So I knew kind of like the foundations of how that worked. And then the PR side of it's really curating the content and sourcing the guests that are like everything that's public facing. So, you know, finding those guests and curating a guest list that's really going to help amplify the podcast and bring in a lot of listeners. But then also too, like pitching the podcast host to be on other podcasts so they can talk about their podcast. And yeah, that's really kind of the PR side of it. And that's what we do.
I love that. And I love all the strategy pieces. That's definitely where my heart sits often, and that you were able to bring that into all these different things. And of course, being a mom, there are some moms that totally knock it out of the park in the event planning business, but it's a thing that you can't really do from home. You are typically working evenings and weekends. So I'm sure there's a part of that too that makes it a little bit easier that you can kind of navigate things differently through this business. But beyond that portion of it, how else did you balance kind of marrying all the different parts of that alongside motherhood and having your business baby with your human baby and bringing the two together?
So it was definitely tough because to your point about time management, when I was doing the event planning and the weddings, I kind of was like, okay, well, yeah, I have some nights and weekends away, which isn't ideal, but it's not many because I wasn't one of those wedding planners who was totally booked, you know, every single weekend, two weddings a day, that kind of thing. But I think like my ego was suffering a little bit there because I was like, I'm not making the money that I want to be making. Like if I'm going to be working at all, I want to see like a return. I want to feed my ego and my soul a little bit more in that sense, but also have, you know, the benefits of normal working hours and being able to be home with the kids at night and get them ready in the morning before preschool or get them breakfast made and all of that. So having that normal, typical schedule now is great. However, as you know, as an entrepreneur, you kind of don't really have that typical schedule. So leaving the 8 to 5 sounded good, right? But I'm actually constantly on the clock. If you want to consider all of the thoughts that I think about in bed at night and waking up in the middle of the night, like with a new idea or a concern, a stress, a worry, a problem that I have to solve. So it's definitely a juggle. And of course, we're always kind of battling internally with that mom guilt and like, how much time am I funneling into my business and how much brain space too? Because if your brain space is so preoccupied, you're not going to be present wherever you are. So that's a constant struggle for me. And I'm definitely in the early stages of trying to figure it out and find a happy rhythm balance. I don't really think there is such thing as a balance, but as moms, as working moms, we really, really struggle with that constant internal battle of, is it actually worth it, what I'm doing? Because it's taking me away from my kids. So what is worth it and what is successful to me? What's success to me?
Yeah, I love that. you know, I always say balance-ish, right? It's this finding some sort of balance. But I think you've found this thing that feels like your thing and you're so good at it. You could consider it a passion that you've turned into a business and you've really found your place in that. So for the moms that are listening and they're currently home with their kids and they are feeling that battle, and you know, I think you're speaking very well to the fact that it's not just going to go away per se, but it doesn't mean that you choose not to pursue that passion. So if they do feel that urge and they do feel that passion, what advice or recommendations would you have to kind of step into that, even if you don't have the full picture answer of how it'll feel perfect?
So I think like the defining factor for why I just took the leap was like the constant question of what if, like, what if I didn't? And it just felt like I knew exactly where I would be if I didn't do it, right? Because I was already there. I was like, this is my day to day. This is exactly where I'm going to be if I don't start my business that I really, really am feeling a passion for and a pull to do. So not knowing where I could be after I started the business and the different connections it would open me up to, the ability to, you know, generate an income for our household and just have like an exciting thing to look forward to each morning to work on and build and see what it could become was super exciting to me. And I was like, I don't know what that looks like tomorrow or in a month or in a year or in 10 years, but that sounds way more exciting to me than knowing exactly where I'm going to be if I don't start today.
Oh, I love that so much. And I truly think it is just thinking into that what if and taking kind of the leap of faith, but that's definitely easier for some people than others. And I think it kind of can tie back to your ability to be kind of risk adverse or step into that, maybe what your motivation is or what your upbringing was. So how did that look for you? Were your parents entrepreneurs, or where do you really step into that motivation to really push through kind of the nerves and the risk and say, you know what, I don't really know what this is going to look like. It is a what if, but I know I have to try.
Yeah. So my dad is an entrepreneur. He still owns the same business that he's owned my whole life that I've known him. So I feel like though, as a kid, he never really kind of pushed his entrepreneurial spirit or values or like how life is as an entrepreneur onto us as kids. And I feel like as I'm older now and we have these conversations because we can relate as entrepreneurs together, I think he never really pushed those values or that kind of path, I guess, onto me and my brothers when we were younger, because I think he got very stressed as an entrepreneur because he's a caterer. So he's also somewhat in events and all of that. And basically exactly what I said about that business model, he stresses every single summer because especially in Arizona, nobody is doing events and catering because it's so hot. And typically a lot of his stuff is outdoors, which is like the nature of his business. So every summer he was constantly stressed. Like, what are we going to bring in? I have no idea. So when I started to feel that pull to like start my own business and become an entrepreneur, I was like, where is this coming from? I don't really know, because I don't think I really ever grew up with my dad pushing that onto me. So truthfully, maybe it's kind of like in your blood, I guess, in my experience would be my answer. But now that I can talk with him more and have these conversations about his thoughts on his own business, and it's just interesting to see how I've embarked on my entrepreneurial journey and the business model that I want to have to help feed like more security is really interesting, because it's something that my dad has always been fearful of as an entrepreneur. And so I wonder if he was almost projecting that onto us like subconsciously, and it's just an energy we picked up on or something like that. But yeah, so that's kind of that story. So I guess the answer would be, I don't really know where this entrepreneurial spirit came from.
You know, I've heard mixed things about people that have entrepreneurial parents and whether they were encouraged to follow that path or it was not really encouraged. And I've seen both sides. And as a parent myself, I just think it's interesting to consider. I don't know what the answer is. But there's also a lot of tension that can happen in the home for entrepreneurial people, right? So you have this other baby and this human that you're pouring all of your love into, and by then you have your business and all the things that you're trying to balance. How did that manifest in your household? I know you mentioned that your parents were divorced. How old were you when that happened? And how has that impacted who you are today in your marriage, your motherhood journey, and also your business?
Yeah, so I was 10 when they got divorced. It was not an easy divorce at all by any means. And even still to this day is like, just not fun. Not fun. Like kids' birthdays, it just never ends. It's when you're a child of divorce, it's just a constant weight on your shoulders. When holidays come around, like birthdays come around, it's not fun. So being a child of divorce is never easy. And I will say, I think, I don't know if this was like a defense mechanism, but as I was growing up, I was certainly one of the first kids whose parents got divorced. Like I was 10 years old, I was in fifth grade. So when I went to school, I was like embarrassed and I was super afraid of being judged by my other friends. And they certainly did because they'd be like, oh, my parents are still married, blah, 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 you know, that whole thing. And you just felt kind of like a black sheep. But I feel like kind of my defense mechanism about it was, I'm not going to act like I'm different. I'm not going to act like this affects me. I'm just going to keep moving forward and just deal with what I have to deal with on a case-by-case basis. And I really think it like hardened me in a sense for entrepreneurship, because one of my favorite things or quotes or something that I've ever heard from an entrepreneur that I look up to is it's something to the effect of like your success as an entrepreneur has to do with the amount of hard conversations you're willing to have every single day. And so I always think about that, and I'm definitely an emotional person and I definitely care about other people's feelings, but I really think that growing up as a child of divorce and having that really, just really having to like harden myself, like towards my parents too, because it was very much like he said, she said, your dad did this, like your mom did this. And like, it was always put on us as kids and we were always put in the middle. And I remember I just got to a point where I was like so fed up and I'm like, if you have a problem with mom or you have a problem with dad, go talk to them. I'm not dealing with it anymore. And I was probably like 13 years old. Like you wouldn't think of a 13-year-old really talking back to their parents like that. And so I kind of attribute that hardness, and I don't want to say that in a negative sense or negative definition, but I kind of attribute that to these hard conversations that I've had to have just recently in the past year in my entrepreneurial career. And I think it's really just an indicator of the growth, my self-development and growth, which has been surprising to me, quite honestly, because I do have people-pleasing tendencies. So I think that like young child is kind of coming out.
Well, I just think it's amazing that you've taken that, because that is a lot to carry for anyone, and especially at such a pivotal age. You know, 10 is kind of this transition from child to what's next. And to be able to carry that on your shoulders and learn to navigate it probably has served you really well when it comes to entrepreneurship as well as motherhood. So when you think about the things that you've learned through that experience, and I know your marriage is really important to you, how you show up as a mom, and I know you're a phenomenal boss and leader in your own business, how do you take your learnings from that and step into kind of breaking the cycle, especially for your own family?
Yeah, so I think my answer for this is really attributed to like that balance of being an entrepreneur, being a wife, being a mom, being a daughter, being a sister, all of that. And just really making sure that we're balancing-ish in all of our different roles as a multidimensional human. Because as moms, we are literally doing it all. Like I have people tell me all the time, I have no idea how you are like running a business, how you are feeding your kids, how you are making her husband happy. And it's like, I'm not, you know, I'm truly like not all the time. Sometimes it's like 1 o'clock and I'm like, oh shit, the kids were supposed to eat at 11:30. Totally forgot. Okay, we got to make lunch now. And then it's like, you get up and you go and you just do it. But I think in the sense of like breaking the cycle for divorce is truly just putting a focus on my marriage and my husband and making sure that we carve out time for ourselves and that the business doesn't completely take over. And I mean, take over in a sense of like my mental capacity, because being, like I said before, like being present and having the brain space for that very important partner in your life is so critical to the success of your family, of your marriage, and like making sure that that foundation doesn't crack. And we've had some moments, my husband and I, where he's like, you are literally working all night and then you get up early in the morning and you pull your laptop out. It's not fun. And he's like, truly, you're like kind of like a robot. You're on autopilot. All you care about is like being in front of your laptop. And when I ask you a question, you're not listening, you're not paying attention, and your answers aren't even answers. You're just kind of like mumbling. And he's like, if this is the way that it's going to be, I don't want you to embark on this journey. And this was like at the beginning of starting the business. And so when he came out and said that, I was like, okay, well, obviously if he's picking up on that, like, what am I doing to my kids? And they don't voice it at their ages. They're one in, at that time, Collins was like 6 or not even born yet. But, and so, yeah, they're super young. They're like 1 in almost 4. So you have to be super conscious of that as a mom when they're not going to voice it to you. And so I was just like, oh my God, like, what am I doing? Like, this is so bad. I can't just funnel all of my focus into this business and then just completely neglect my family. Like, it's not sustainable and it's not worth it if it's going to be like that. So I had to really reflect internally and make sure that I had my priorities straight and truthfully, like, get organized and carve out time on my calendar. And I literally would carve out time on my calendar, like time with kids, like fist, dinner, all that stuff, just so that it was so front of mind when I was working and I could see it on my calendar and I'd be like, okay, that's coming. I need to get this done so that I feel good and I can go be with my kids and my husband and be completely 100% present with them.
I love that so much. Some of the things that I absolutely love about what you pointed out is sometimes it's not actually about the amount of time that you spend together, but how engaged and how present you are and the quality of the time you're spending together. And you do want that on a fairly regular basis, like hopefully every day, but it really is allowing yourself to be present. But when you set those priorities and you set that schedule and you're able to identify what that is for yourself, then you're able to be present because you've accomplished, like you said, what do I need to get done before that? So I can be present and really be there. And the open line of conversation and communication, especially with your partner, because like you said, if the business isn't funding what, and by funding, I mean like mentally and emotionally funding the life that you want to live, then what's it for? And I think that you've done such a good job at doing that. Also, I just want to point out, because these are like really tough years at the beginning, like when you're navigating going from 1 to 2 and the little people and the baby business, like our kids are almost the same age and our businesses are similar in age. And just it is tough to pull that together, but it allows you to showcase what is possible and truly be able to pull all of that together. And I just love admiring that for you and everything that you're putting together. So navigating all of that, I can imagine that it's super helpful that you have a really expansive network and people that can mentor you through how to balance these things and how to help you through your business, through your marriage and motherhood as well. So how have you built this really expansive network and these relationships over your career?
So it's really funny because during my like 8 to 5 section of my career, I definitely made a lot of connections and stuff, but they weren't connections that really like held for a longer period of time. And it was when I was pregnant with my son, Cannon, that I was like, I quit my job. I was like, I'm going to insert myself into just the female business community out here in Arizona. And so I ended up becoming like a moderator / leader for this women's networking group at the time called Dames Collective. And it was for like entry-level business women or women who were kind of entertaining the idea of starting a business. And so I was like, well, that's good because that's me. Like, I don't have a business yet. I'm just doing like freelance stuff. So I'm going to add this to my plate, get to know people. And I literally met a wealth of people through that. And like, not only just met them, but created these like super amazing, just genuine relationships that I still have today. Aisha being one of them, shout out to Aisha. So it's just amazing. And like we ended up, a lot of the women who I've connected with have ended up becoming clients or have had babies around the same time that I have. And so we've not only got to connect on the business owner level, but also the mom level too. And so it's just, you know, like the Arizona female business owner community is very tight and very small, but so, so supportive. Like, I don't think there's anyone who's really competitive or like nobody has bad practices. Everybody's just amazing, running incredible businesses, feeding each other's businesses, and just having those valuable two-way relationships. Because I think a relationship is obviously beneficial for both people involved, but a lot of times people can forget that. And they just think, oh, I need to meet this person because I can get exposure for X, Y, and Z if I know them or whatever. But it's like, what are you going to give them? And that's a super important thing to always be conscious of.
What I love is that you went out and sought that community and those relationships, because so often people will be like, I don't have that where I live, or I don't have that in my network or in my association, but you took it upon yourself to go find a place where you could be. And those have come back to be friends in all aspects, business partners, such a great network. So after you found that community where you were able to create these relationships, I would assume at that point in time, there were moments where you questioned, what do I have to offer to these people? I know sometimes when I'm at the beginning of my relationship and when I'm at the beginning of my business and a networking relationship, I'll be like, do I have enough to offer to that person? Can I go benefit them in any way? And I know what I've found to be true is that often engaging with just that intention, you can come back with benefiting that person as well. But you have to go in with that intention, even if you're not sure what that really looks like. So I'd love for you to share a little bit about the mutual benefit relationship and how these relationships have worked for you. But like you said, how important it is to really bring back support for those people as well, even if you're not sure what that looks like at the beginning.
Yeah, totally. I know. I think you made such a good point about your intention when you're going into networking events and meeting people. And like, if you have your eye on one person at an event and you're like, I really, really want to meet them, like, just like you said, go in it with intention and authenticity, and something will probably flourish from there where you can benefit them in the relationship too. So, yeah, I think, you know, I did exactly that. I think I never really had like a hidden agenda or a motive or anything like that. I was just like, just be a human, make a connection. And I think that's kind of where you have to start in a relationship, is finding that common ground where you can relate to each other and where you're creating a future with this person to have the next conversation or the coffee date or the lunch date. And then eventually maybe the new client or the testimonial or endorsement, like whatever it might be. I think kind of like the underlying theme in life that I've learned is you need to be in it for the long game. Nothing comes to fruition that's worth it to me in a short amount of time. It's like that with these relationships that you're making. Like, you really have to be in it for the long game. You have to nurture it. You have to care for it and put in the work and the effort. Same with podcasting. You have to nurture the podcast and be in it for the long game to see the return. And, you know, it's like that with Instagram and other social media and all of that. So kind of off on a tangent, but I kind of feel like that's like my underlying takeaway of life that I've learned so far. And I think it just really applies to relationships and networking, because I think that's where people see the most return and the most value with the relationships that they end up making.
Yeah, no. And I don't think it was really a tangent. I mean, I think investing in yourself, investing in your relationships, investing in your business, investing in your family, all of those things, you know, you can't expect an immediate return, right? Like, you don't expect that the moment you have a baby in your arms when you leave the hospital, you're like, oh, fulfillment for life. You really look at being a mom for the rest of your life, right? Like, you've signed up for that for the rest of life. And when you jump into entrepreneurship, you know, you're in for the long game. When you get married, you don't go, okay, we said I do today, like, done, this is it forever. Like, you know, it's all of those things. It's the long game and how do you show up in all of those different aspects. But when it comes to like the business side or making these relationships and these connections for the people that are just like nervous and they're like, I don't even know how to start that conversation or even just introduce myself to someone, how would you recommend that they really just like take the very first step to step into that, even if they're uncomfortable?
Yeah, I mean, I think practice makes perfect. And yeah, you even have to practice being social sometimes. I'm definitely a social person, but when you don't want to be social, it's really hard to turn it on. So you just need to practice. And I truthfully think investing in something like monetarily is going to force you to show up. So whatever it might be, a mastermind, an event, a networking event, like anything, if you like hold yourself to it to show up, and you absolutely want to throw up and you hate these things and you're like, if this is the only way that it's going to get you to like immerse yourself, then pay for something so that you do show up, so that you're like, I do need to get my money's worth. And then when you're there, I think you just need to like go introduce yourself to somebody. The great thing about a motherhood focused event or a business owner focused event is that you already have common ground with these people. So I mentioned that earlier, you don't really have to find that if you're going somewhere where like-minded people who have similar interests are already at, because you can just pop into a conversation and say, hey, like, I saw you were on this panel earlier today. I loved that you said this, like, I want to learn more about your business, and, you know, make it about them, ask them questions first, and then let them kind of return the favor and ask you next. But it's really like a confidence thing, a practice thing. And I think you get the confidence with the practice.
I love that. And I know for me, one of my favorite things about expanding my network is being able to choose who I do life with, whether that's business or friendship or everything in between, and who my family is around. And even starting my business, it has been so fun to find the right puzzle pieces to really bring this mission forward. One of those people being you. And I absolutely love that I can find moms just like crushing it, doing their thing. I know you say that there's like the balance and the struggle, but whatnot, but you're crushing it.
Oh God, thank you. This week, I don't feel like I'm crushing it. I'm not going to lie, but
we can't crush it all the time. I don't consider that crushing it, but 80% rule, but really stepping into all those different parts. And I love that I can be like, oh my gosh, I want to support that person's journey, and their journey is part of my journey in this way. And really being able to find the balance between that. And one of the coolest things about podcasting is being able to bring all those people together, and you kind of do it from both ends, which I love. But I'd love for you to speak about all the different relationships you've seen manifest in the podcasting world and how the podcast world just really helps with doing that for anyone that may have podcasting on their heart for business or kind of like a personal diary even, or any of those things.
Yeah, I think like if you've always been kind of drawn to podcasting and it's weighing heavy on your heart, like, just do it and just get scrappy with it. It doesn't have to be perfect. I think I struggle with this myself. People always spend so much time trying to make it perfect before it ever goes out into the public. And sometimes you just got to like swallow your pride and do it. And that's the only way that you're really going to start to go down the path of discovery and see where your content is going to lead you. And maybe you'll uncover like an area of expertise you didn't really realize that you had, but you know so much about. And maybe you can end up turning that into a business or a brand or whatever it might be. But I think like just diving in head first, getting on the mic, talking about what you want to talk about is going to really be helpful to discover maybe a possible business idea. Or if you already have a business, it's such a great tool for just feeding your audience and keeping them around and interested and engaged. Because if you're offering a free resource out there, you're not only humanizing your brand with a voice and a face and quality information, but you're building trust as well. So the whole point is to continue to build that trust, continue to build an audience and listeners, and eventually get them to convert. And I don't think size always matters in podcasting. I think that if you have a niche audience and they're super loyal to you, a lot of times those podcasts convert at a much higher rate than some of the biggest podcasts out there that you would ever see. So don't let that self-doubt and that imposter syndrome creep in to where you're like, well, who am I to start a podcast? Who am I to jump on the mic and speak about whatever it might be? Like, I'm not an expert. It's not really about that. I truly think podcasting is meant to amplify everyone's individual, unique voice. And no matter what that voice is, so there's going to be an ear for it somewhere. And it's just going to travel and travel and build and build. And as long as you keep it up and stay consistent and you're in it for the long game, then you're going to see some success. And you're certainly going to see success within feeding your soul and like feeding that urge that you've been feeling to start a podcast.
So many people can benefit from podcasting. I think whether it's business, you spoke to all the things that it's great for a business. I think even just sharing your voice, like as a mom, I hear all the time from the women in our community, I want my kids to go back and hear my voice and what I thought. And that's super powerful. And the low barrier to entry for podcasting is truly anyone can step into it. And that's super cool.
I remember when, like, before I had started my podcast, I always thought like you had to be some sort of celebrity, like tied to a network in order to be on a podcast. And when I discovered that anybody could do it, I was like, this is incredible and amazing. And you can totally build an audience from a podcast. Like, anybody can do it.
Yeah. Everyone has a message to share and everyone's overcome something that would benefit someone else if they shared it. And so I think that podcasting is a great platform for that. And I know your business, Nikki Butler Media specifically, is a podcast PR and production agency. I'd love for you to share what are the services that you offer and truly who the best person is to work with you.
So we do like so many different, really two different services, but so many different things under each of those. And so we do podcast creation and launches. And then typically from there, our clients like you, Kelsey, go into our podcast management service, which is our ongoing service to manage the show, keep it going, breathe life into it, get creative with the content, and obviously stay up on like industry trends and apply whatever needs to be applied to our client shows. So in podcast launch, really, we go from start to finish, from concept to creation. We assist with, you know, all of the equipment and those kinds of like advising on the equipment and like the recording setup and situation. And we basically edit and launch the show. We get you all set up on the back end so you don't have to worry about those annoying logistics. And then moving into podcast management, which is my favorite, when we can really get into the flow and start doing the PR side of it with the guest pitching and curation. That's what I love to do. Super exciting. But we start pitching guests and getting really amazing people on our client shows that they are like so surprised that they can even get on the show, because you would be surprised at what people are like, oh, you want me on your podcast? I would love to. I'm honored. And like, they're like a really big influencer or something like that. And you're like, whoa, I haven't even launched my podcast. I have like 3,000 followers on Instagram. They want to be on my show. It's kind of funny. Like, you just have to like take that leap, take that next step, put yourself out there and just do it. But if you don't have the time, you can hire people like us to do it for you. So on the management side of it, we do all that guest booking. We do all the content creation. We create the outlines for our clients so they're prepared. They don't have to do the research beforehand. And then we do all of the production and editing, get it up and out there to the world. And that's truly like our bread and butter.
Yeah. And I'm so grateful for you helping me navigate all the things and not having to learn a whole new arm of my business all on my own. But for someone that's maybe just starting out and doesn't have the funds or the ability to hire an agency like yours, what would be your advice for them to get up and running for their podcast?
So my advice for them is kind of what I said before, you know, just do it, buy the equipment, and you don't have to get expensive with it. There are very expensive options, but there's also very affordable options too. Granted, you want to still keep audio quality in mind because it's really, really hard to listen to something that sounds really terrible, especially when you don't have a visual aid. So just taking the leap, just doing it, putting yourself out there, not worrying too much about what you're saying, what you're talking about, just kind of letting it flow and unfold along the way. And then there's a lot of like really great softwares and services out there that can capture your recording all in one, and you can edit right there when you're done. Riverside is one of them, which is actually a platform that we use for our clients. There's also like a Squadcast, and there's Anchor. Anchor is like all encompassing, and you can use that to edit, record, post everything in one place. So there's a lot of really great, easy, free tools and resources out there. You've just got to get a little scrappy at the beginning if you don't have the budget for an agency like ours. But I also think it's super important to really think about how much time you want to funnel into the podcast, because it is a time suck. It is an energy suck. And those are negative phrases, but because it's all worth it. Like, it's definitely worth it to have a podcast, but like, just think about, where do you have the time to funnel into the podcast? Or like, do you have the energy to do it? And if you don't, then consider outsourcing and at little pieces at a time. Like, if you can't do the bookings and the production and the management and the content curation all in one place, then maybe outsource the production first. And then maybe do like show notes or something like that, and take it just piece by piece, little by little, so that you don't burn yourself out, start the podcast, spend the money on the equipment, and then you just stop. Because there's this term in podcasting called pod fade, and it essentially is like 80% of podcasts that are on Apple Podcasts are inactive or have like 10 episodes or less. So it is incredibly common to start, realize the daunting task that a podcast is, and then completely just fade and you just stop. So the key is to be consistent and just really make sure that before you launch, you just analyze your time and your energy and where you can funnel what where and where you might need to outsource.
Yeah. And I think that's, again, just an analogy for life, right? Like, sometimes you can't do everything yourself and you really have to figure out, where can you put all your energy? Where can you step into? Where do you need support and help? And when you do need help, you can take little baby steps along the way of figuring out, how are you stepping into motherhood? How are you stepping into outsourcing for things in your home or your business or anything else? How are you taking baby steps up in your career or taking baby steps in any form of self-development or business and anything in between? So I just love how it really comes all circle with that. And when we talk about taking baby steps, I'd love to know if there was one piece of advice, maybe it's a quote or a hack or anything that you want to leave with our audience today. What would be the one thing that you're like, just do this one thing this week?
Okay, one thing to do this week. Gosh, I'm not going to lie. I am having probably the toughest week I think I've had in the life of Nikki Butler Media so far. So I would say just to always take action, even when you feel defeated or like you're sitting in negative emotions too much, like just keep going, because the only thing that's going to make you feel a little bit better is that little step forward that you're taking over and over again, because that's the only thing that's really going to get you to the other side. And so I'd say that's my thing. And that can apply to anything. It can apply to business, apply to motherhood. Just take that little step forward. Like, if your toddler's even having a meltdown and you're like, oh my gosh, this is like the fifth day in a row, why is it such a bad week with him? Just go hide in the closet for a second, get through the day, get through bedtime. And like, that's a step forward, you know, just like, you've just got to like take care of yourself and just keep things rolling so that you can get through the hard times faster.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Pause, think about it, and take a step, whatever direction.
I did actually hear too, I will say, what was I watching? I literally just watched something this morning and they were doing like, I think it was like a reality show, and they were like doing a breathing exercise. And she was like, just breathe in, breathe out. Because while you're breathing, your body actually cannot physically feel stress.
Mm.
I was like, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I feel like I should think about that a little bit more because I don't do any breath work.
We definitely do not breathe enough. No one breathes enough.
No. So I feel like now that I know that my body can physically, our bodies can physically not feel stress while you're breathing.
Amazing. So while we all collectively take a deep breath, I would love for you then to tell us, how can we find you? How can we support you? Tell us all the places that you are.
Yeah. So you can find me on Instagram at the Nikki Butler, NIKKIBUTLER is my personal. And then our business one is Nikki Butler Media, NIKKI. And then website is NikkiButlerMedia.com.
Amazing. And I know that the Nikki Butler Media team will do a great job at putting all that in the show notes for you to connect to. So thanks so much, Nikki. Mamas, if you love this episode, please follow Mama Has Goals on Apple Podcasts so you always know when I drop a new episode. And the most important thing so we can get this mission and this message and this movement out is please leave a 5-star review sharing your favorite part of this episode. Even take a screenshot, share it to your Instagram stories, tag us, and follow us at Mama Has Goals. See you next time.